just make room for what the Holy Spirit is doing this morning. I'm just going to bring what I believe God wants me to bring this morning, and I think the message is going to be a little shorter, because I think the Holy Spirit just wants to say one thing this morning. Just one thing. Those of you that have your Bibles, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. And I'm continuing and finishing the message series that I've been bringing the last few weeks. And this morning it's simply showing Jesus. Simply showing Jesus. Paul writes this, 2 Corinthians 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be shown and read by all. Every single one of us are God's recommendation. When people look at us, they should see Jesus. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face, so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. And when the one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. And Paul is writing this second letter to the Corinthian church, having addressed a number of issues in the Corinthian church regarding conduct and morality and their lifestyle. Paul now writes again to correct some issues in the Corinthian church. And some of the readers of the letters begin to challenge Paul and say that your suffering, the very fact that you have suffered, proves that you are not truly an apostle. And Paul's response to that is very, very simple. Paul says, the fact that I have suffered proves that I am an apostle, because it proves that I'm not dependent on my own strength, but I'm dependent on the strength of Christ. And by virtue of that and that alone, it's not about me, but it's the fact that the Spirit works in me is evidence that I have been called by Christ. I wonder if I were to ask you this morning, if I were to ask any Christian this morning, do you love Jesus? Most likely answer that would come from probably every single one of you is, yes, I do. After all, which student of Jesus would profess or even dare to say that they don't love Jesus? That is the standard answer. But Jesus, when he asked the question, Jesus, when he said, do you love me, made it clear in what he said that there are two distinct things that reveal our love for him. We can say it in word, but words alone count for nothing. When Jesus says that it's not a matter of just words, but it's a matter of lifestyle, a matter of action. And he says there are two things that mark us as his. First of all, it's a willingness to be obedient to every command that he's given. A willingness in us to be obedient to every command that he has given. And the second thing is this: showing his presence in our lives. Showing his presence in our lives. John 14:21, the Message paraphrases it like this: the person who knows my commandments and keeps them, that's the one who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself plain to him. In other words, he will reveal himself through his Spirit. In other words, his presence, the Holy Spirit, will be made manifest in those of us that truly love him. Sometimes we pray, come, Lord, send your presence. Sometimes we pray, come amongst us, fall upon us, reveal yourself to us. But as I've already said this morning, when the presence of God comes, we need to understand that the presence doesn't dwell in a building. His presence doesn't inhabit bricks and mortar. When the presence and the glory of God comes, he comes to the hearts of men and women. He comes to us. Because it's his presence and his presence alone that will change and affect our lives. It's his presence in us that will change us and conform us and move us more and more to look like Jesus. But there is a warning. There is something that we need to heed if we truly want the presence of Jesus to be evident in us. And it's this: when the presence and the glory of God comes, he brings with him a revelation. A revelation that reveals all the dark, deep secrets of our lives. When his presence comes, he will open us up before the light of his glory, and everything is revealed and laid bare before him. The question we have to ask ourselves is, are we really prepared to lay everything before him, holding nothing back for the sake of his presence in us? When people look at us, they don't want to see Dean. They don't want to see Andy. They don't want to see Ian. They don't want to see Susan or whoever. When people look at us, what they want to see, what they should see, because it's the thing that will change and transform them, is the evidence, the manifest presence of Jesus working in the believer. Jesus in us. And all I want to say this morning is this, that if we want to show Jesus, then we first need to see him. If we want to see Jesus in us, we first need to see him. Because it's in seeing him, not as we think he is, it's in seeing him as he truly is, that's what ultimately brings the transformation in our lives. That ultimately is what changes and transforms us. Hebrews 12 verse 2 reminds us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, we cannot look to other things or anything else or whatever. The only person who can truly transform our lives is Jesus himself and his presence through the Holy Spirit. If we want to become the kind of person who loves like Jesus, who has a tender heart like Jesus, a compassionate heart toward others, the key is to see Jesus as he really is. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We are all with unveiled face beholding or seeing the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." What this verse tells us in that third chapter, verse 18, it tells us this, that every single one of us are in a process, that every single one of us are being changed and being conformed and being transformed into something else, but not just into something else. Every single one of us are in a process of being progressively changed and transformed to look more like Jesus. That's God's aim. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to transform us, to take us on a journey, to change us from one degree to another, a slow process, but we are being changed. When we look to Jesus, the natural consequence, the natural effect of us constantly looking to him is that we are transformed. No one has ever loved like Jesus. And his glory, Paul says, is that we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. We are being changed, friends, to look like Jesus. And the thing is this, we become what we behold, or we become the thing that we spend the most time looking at. If we want to look like Jesus, then we need to spend most of our time, in fact, all of our time, every spare moment that we have, looking to him, the author and the founder and the perfecter of our faith. That's what it says in Hebrews 12. Looking to Jesus and Jesus only. We cannot reflect, we cannot show Jesus, we cannot be the hope and the light of the world if all we have to show is self. Self counts for nothing. We sang this morning, the Jesus, the name that is above every other name. And either we believe that and we begin to live our lives in accordance with what we believe, that Jesus is the name above every situation and circumstance, or he isn't. The name above every circumstance. Paul says of verse 18, he says this, again, we all with unveiled face reflecting the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. And the key is this, that Paul says we are transformed as we begin to behold. We are transformed as we begin to see Jesus. As we begin to see him, that's what brings the transformation, as we constantly look toward him. When I was in Bible college, I was privileged to have some great lecturers, some great tutors, some great men and women who have served faithfully in ministry over the years. And one of the things that I found myself doing was this. As I looked to them, I thought, I'd like to be like them. I'd like to, if I ever get into ministry, I'd like to do that or whatever, because these were great men and women. And what you find, you know, certain mannerisms and the way that people teach and speak, you find yourself slightly mimicking them. I am my own person. I'm not mimicking anyone at the moment, I have to tell you. But I remember thinking that I'd like to be like them. You know, some great Bible teachers. And if I'm honest, even today, when I come to the Word, I think the way that one of my lecturers, one of my tutors taught me to think. Because he just had, what was evident was just his relationship with Jesus. And I thought, I want that. And so the thing is this, the point I'm making is this, that we become the thing that we spend the most time beholding, the thing that we look the most at. And so if we want to become like Jesus, we need to spend the time looking at him. Paul says, when we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we will be transformed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. And so if we want people to see Jesus in us, if we want to be the mirror that Paul talks about, reflecting the glory of God, if we want people to see the evidence of a transformed life, then our strategy has to be very simple. It's not a sevenfold or fivefold. It's not so many steps. The strategy is very simple. If we want to reflect Jesus, if we want to show Jesus, manifest Jesus in our lives, we have to look to Jesus. That's all we have to do, is look to him. Paul tells us that as we look to him, it's as a mirror. We reflect we reflect what is in us, what we see as we stand in front of a mirror. The key to showing is to see Jesus. And Paul then goes on to talk about the fact that certain people, when they looked to Moses, saw that Moses was wearing a veil. And again, in this letter to Corinthians, it tells us it's not because Moses covered his face with a veil because it was too bright for the people. It was because he was afraid of them seeing the glory fade. It was departing. That's why Moses covered his face. And Paul uses that picture of Moses to say, look, God has not written the law on tablets of stone anymore, but rather he has written the law on our hearts. And therefore, we are not people who live by ritual and by law, but we are people who live by the Spirit. And Paul goes on to say, there are still those, because remember, he was writing to the church. He wasn't writing to those outside the church. He was writing to the church, people inside the church. He was saying, some of you, however, still see with a veiled face. In other words, instead of seeing the life of Jesus, the student life of Jesus as being a joy and a hope, you're seeing Jesus through a veiled face, as it were. And so his commands, rather than being light and, as he says, they're not a burden, it becomes a burden for you. And so your life becomes a slave labor, because you're not doing it out of a love for Jesus. You're not doing it out of a desire to be conformed, transformed into his likeness. You're doing it because the law tells you to do it. Veiled face. But Paul says that when Jesus, when the presence comes to inhabit us, the veil is lifted. And we no longer see Jesus. We no longer see the law through a veil, but actually we see it with clarity, with fresh eyes, and we see Jesus as he really is. And more than that, Paul goes on to say, when we begin to see Jesus as he really is, it releases us, that revelation releases us from a mentality of slavery and gives us true freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You see, he has not called us to be slaves, but he has called us to be his friends. He's come to set us free.